Now, has everyone been on yet?
No.
He came through this week, the Harbridge Park, and we had our first.
Recording in progress.
First of all. Sally's got a leaking fig, and we got a nesting dove in it, and that thing is nothing but a hole, and there are more feedings than.
All right, let's get this meeting started. Stand at the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sarah, can I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Jim Bowman?
Here.
Larry Shute?
Here.
Shute.
Is it just Shute?
Yeah.
Jeff Ross?
Jeff's not.
He excused?
We'll get that.
Oh, okay, sorry. Tom Needhammer?
Here.
Skyler Naughton? Nicole Voglo?
Here.
Aaron Place?
Here.
Monica Ross?
Here.
Carl Van Dalen?
Here.
Jeff and Skyler did contact us, let us know that they weren't going to be able to make it and requested to be excused.
Okay.
Looking for a motion or?
So moved.
Motion for excuse, I have a motion, a second?
Second.
Carl is a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Let's move on to consent agenda, approval minutes from April 17th. That wasn't in the email.
I'm sorry, but I put the packets together. So I forgot to put that. I will get those to you at our next meeting.
Okay, so we'll go over the approval of those minutes at the next meeting. All right, guys. All right, let's move on to hearing citizens present on non-agenda items. All right. Let's go to boards of officers, board standing committee reports.
None tonight.
None tonight. Unfinished business, there's none. Moving right along to new business, review and update public participation plan.
Yeah. First thing, I'd just like to thank Sarah for filling in for our recording secretary. We are currently advertising for a clerical position, and hopefully, so if anybody knows anybody, just refer them.
Missy, go out and do something else.
Yeah, she moved on to another position. So,
okay.
So then we have an opening now for that.
Another position within the city, or?
Yeah, clerical position in the city. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to say where she went?
No, she's not working for the city anymore.
No,
yeah.
That was the question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was confused. She moved on to another position outside of the city.
Yep. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Okay, so the public participation plan, as we talked about at our review, the RRC review document last month, the public participation plan is something that should be reviewed annually by the Planning Commission. So we're bringing that forward, and just to go over that and see if there are any thoughts or changes that should be brought forward. The meat of the plan is really the goals and objectives, and that's kind of where we identify, you know, our best methods for public participation and what we can do and what we can do better. I don't know if any of you saw what Jim forwarded to me regarding what he has been doing, summarizing meetings, putting them on social media, and the outreach and that, which was a suggestion of the Planning Commission last year. And those were some pretty, really good numbers, Jim. I'm really impressed by that.
Yeah, if you look at our number, I apologize because I just sent it to Scott like a half an hour ago.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't send it to the rest of you, but our numbers, I looked up what other cities, how many followers they have on Facebook, and we're far ahead of any other community around here. The only one that beats us is Point City Main Street. But Main Street is a different, you know, there's, they've got more exciting, fun stuff like stroll the streets and, you know, mm-hmm. we're talking about zoning and mm-hmm. short-term rentals and that. But anyway, we've got pretty good numbers. And, you know, and Nicole, last meeting, a year ago we talked about this, suggested that we put virtually everything on Facebook and the chamber newsletter, and I've been doing my best to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I even talked to the chamber, because our municipal news, they would print it all and it would be at the very bottom of the newsletter, so I asked them if they could move it up, and they did. So it's you know, our municipal news is high up in their newsletter, and you know, I do a write up of every city commission meeting the day, or actually I send it to them the day after the meeting. They print it on Thursday night or Tuesday night's meeting, and so you know, I think those suggestions were good, and they've pretty much been implemented, and I think it's reflected in our numbers. That's why our numbers are high, because mm-hmm. we've got a lot of stuff on there. Mm-hmm. And of course, we've had the controversial issues like the marina and things that have spurred interest also. So mm-hmm. anyway, I think those numbers are good. And it was suggestions from this group that mm-hmm. kind of made that happen. So.
Well, so far, I really like pulling the city municipal news ahead of the break. You know, you read through the email and click here to expand.
Right.
They have the municipal news before that jump, or whatever you want to call it, through the website. It makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. That really, I think, pulls the interest in. So that's well done.
Okay. I have nothing to do with that. That's ugly.
Yeah.
How long your email is, Gmail just automatically, you know, after whatever, it just, you know, so, but it does help to be a high.
Yeah.
I have a question, and this is kind of, you know, broad, but with engaging the public, I was noticing some signs on the other side of town. By Lincoln Street.
The little yellow
signs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we get QR codes added to those? Mm. Because, I mean, not everybody's going to use them, but those are becoming kind of mainstream for, instead of them contacting City Hall, maybe that could get an info PDF or something where they could look at the information and then call with questions.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
What are these signs about?
Oh, whenever they're doing work on that road, they have these yellow signs that are there to let them people know that, hey,
people
this
are
is
very connected.
Yeah, basically it's any topic. It mm-hmm. could be a site plan, could be a road construction. This
yeah.
was sign was for the
signs.
Yeah, it was signed for the high wire corridor that
right.
Van Damme would like to see passed for the Pleasant. Just kind of relocating it from Division to Pleasant. So mm-hmm. and those, you know, as simple as those are, they're probably one of the really best public outreach and getting people engaged and just, hey, what's going on? So they've been really effective.
Yeah. And you know, the QR code, I mean, you could change it for everything that's happening, but it would just go to a page.
Yeah.
Says, have you seen this sign? This is what it's all about.
Right. That's, yeah, because you only have one, and then probably have a dedicated site on the website where it goes, takes you to.
I really like that idea, because there's a lot of people that want to know just enough information and they don't need to know more, and calling Scott would probably take a lot of time. If everyone called Scott, it would be taking a lot of time.
Well, and then also, you would have, for me, you know, I work from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., and then the city offices are closed, I don't have an opportunity to call, mm-hmm. you know, and this would provide that information, so at least you're getting the information so you can reach mm-hmm. out further if necessary.
Okay.
And I could do the same thing. I could put a picture of that sign on Facebook and say, what's this all about? And then tell them.
Yeah.
Because we did report about the high wire ordinance, but we didn't
trimmed down when we took a look at it before?
Yeah, we did. There was like a lot of extraneous.
A contact person, and there was a bunch of stuff that just didn't go anywhere.
Right, and it gets dated, so you just kind of had to take that out. And we have other places where that information is. So this is more just the strategies that we want to try to employ to engage the public and continue to hopefully be good communicators.
Is part of, I'm sorry, I haven't had a chance to read all the way through. Is part with the owls are recording every meeting? Is that part of this as well, or no?
Well, that was more a product of COVID and it was in Zoom, and then, but again, it's another way to communicate, and it's, we've embraced it, and we do record all the meetings.
We've just made it a norm, it makes it a lot easier for people.
Yeah, and so, you know, we broadcast meetings on multiple platforms, and they're recorded, and, you know, they're taped, and those are made available. So, you know, we have made sure that, you know, anybody that wants to participate in a meeting or see what's going on will have ability to do that.
Absolutely. Does anyone else have anything? So we're just reviewing this?
Yeah, it's just, it was brought up in that RRC review, and, I'll take any suggestions we have and update them as I can, and I'll definitely take that QR code idea forward. But if there's any other, you know, thoughts or additions, then I'd be happy to consider those.
Okay. Is the time at 5:30 still good? I know that this isn't the time we're talking about that, but like,
well, it's all part of it.
Access to public is 5:30. Enough for people to be able to get here? Have you heard anybody say, oh, I can't make 5:30, that's not even a...
The meeting time, no one's ever commuted to me, was a problem.
Okay.
At 5 o'clock, we had full rooms when, you know, we had very big topics, and, you know, at 5:30, we've had empty rooms because,
because
it was going to jump. So it's, I don't think that time is bad.
Okay.
It seems to be working.
When do you want to kick this off in terms of this, the input from the public?
Not quite sure what your question is.
Well, since about half of the residents within Boyne City are really part-time residents, mm-hmm. Are we considering them one of the stakeholders for this particular study?
Well, this is just an annual plan. It's a plan as part of our RC certification that we're supposed to have.
Right.
And we look at it annually. So how to reach out to seasonal folks could be a point in this plan. So, you know, we do have our newsletters that we send out to every property owner, regardless of their address. When we do have, planning initiatives, we do kind of try to plan those in the summer months when more people are here. Probably the most recent one I can think of is the Boyne Out of Water Plan, which was specifically done in the summer months to kind of facilitate those seasonal residents. So we kind of do that already, but if you have any suggestions how to outreach to seasonal people and other means, I'd be happy to listen to them.
Well, I applaud you for, at this point, making sure that our highest population here is during the summer.
Yeah.
And they are definitely a major stakeholder and a major, property tax revenue source.
Right. And, and all those folks can subscribe to the, the newsletter,
the chamber
newsletter.
And the Facebook.
So, we have those ability. They have that ability to participate from, and they can, through Zoom, if they want to participate in the middle of winter from their Florida residence, and they can log on.
Yeah. They can also send emails too to Scott and the person, concerns that they have, so we can address them. We've done that before at different places, especially during the Zoom time. So how we do a lot of them.
Yeah, and then when we do have a specific project, I know anytime we have a street project or major infrastructure project, we do direct mailings to property owners. We make them aware of those kinds of things. You know, some they may not be able to participate in, because they always have like a community meeting about those as well. If they can't participate in person, they can always, you know, call or send emails.
One of the things is that, do we still put an ad in the paper whenever there's a public meeting, public forum?
When there's, you know, required by statute, of course we do. And other times we do just, you know, to try to generate as much interest as we can in a certain topic we think may be, you know, relevant.
What paper is that put in?
The News Review is the paper record for the city.
Not anymore.
Oh, the Charlotte Courier.
They just changed it to Charlotte.
That's right, the Courier. Yeah, that's right.
I would just like to make a suggestion, kind of going along with how well the signs do. What about getting one sign that we put out in front of City Hall that just says public meeting on Tuesday?
We got one.
Then obviously I'm just not watching it.
Well, we haven't put it out yet. But, but the police department now has that sign board that they can take out and slow. They can put messages on that.
Okay.
So that's one of the utilities of it, is if there's something big going on, we can park it out and send a message.
Does that meet our sign order ordinance?
As long as it doesn't change quickly.
Yeah. We won't talk about that.
Do we post our meeting agendas anywhere than other than just on the... Like, could we post them, say, at Veterans Park in the gazebo? Could we...
That's a possibility, yeah.
You know, there's different posting spots.
Because they're here at City Hall.
Right, but you'd have to come in and look to see them.
Sure.
But they're in the hallway there, like, but people going to the farmer's market, we could put a board up in there and
right,
post.
Right, or getting that family fair, or brain train.
That would be an idea.
Yeah, I know there are some specific things that require postings in multiple spots.
Oh, okay.
We do that. It might be like for vacating an alley or something like that, we have to post in three different spots, and you know, the library and here. I think it's at Vanity Fair, but
we post office.
Yeah.
Now, Scott, when you do have a site plan review or a public hearing, you are required to notify residents within a certain distance. Is that correct?
For rezonings or any ordinance change or a conditional approval is the only things that require.
Okay.
Notice, and those are by statute, and that's 300 foot. So,
300 foot. Okay. So,
property.
So, it's kind of like zoning change, and what else?
Conditional use, like a special use permit.
Right.
Or like a text amendment or a zoning map amendment.
Okay.
Those.
But if somebody was coming in to have.
Site plan review? No, it does not. Okay, so then the idea of putting the sign for a site plan review?
Yeah, and that's what we've done. Okay. And when we have a site plan review, we'll put a sign on that property, and that, you know, engages the folks in that area.
Okay.
Any other good ideas or ideas? Thanks, Scott.
Okay, thank you for reviewing this, and you know, this is a living document, and we don't have to review it right now. We can, I can always take suggestions anytime. So if you think of something, please let me know.
When are we going out with the RFP with respect to the individual that will end up writing this final document?
It's done. I'm the one who writes it. It's being written right now with your input.
Okay, but doesn't the input for this also go into our five-year plan?
No, this is something different. This is how to encourage public participation. So it's a kind of a standalone document that we keep on file and we look at annually. The master plan is a whole nother deal that we will probably engage somebody to help us with. But this is just...
But this is a key element of...
The strategies here will hopefully help us get the input we want for that plan.
And that's how I read this to begin with, is that this was the building block for the five-year plan.
No. This is kind of a standalone document.
This is just for how to participate with the community, how to get them involved.
Yeah, it just kind of gives us thinking points and how to best get that engagement.
Okay.
So, and some of these strategies we'll implement when we go for that master planning process.
All right, so then the next step is for you to write up something.
I will make some changes here, and we can, finalize it at the next meeting.
Okay, sounds good.
Yep. And then a year from now, we're going to look at it again.
Do it again, yep.
Okay. And we'll go through it and see what's changed.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, move on to staff report.
All right, a couple things. The City Commission passed a resolution to form a committee to dissolve the Historic District.
To dissolve the Historic District.
You know, the Historic District is an area over Pearl Street, about a dozen houses in it. They created a Historic District in like 2002, around there. And it was well-intended, but it really hasn't provided the results that we wanted. So the City Commission, there's a process they have to go through to dissolve it. And the first step is establish a committee. So right now we're soliciting members. I want to be a member of that committee. And then once they're appointed, they have to do a preliminary report. It's basically the same process of adoption, but just kind of backwards. So the preliminary report will be done, and once that's done, the Planning Commission will weigh in on that. So it will be brought to you guys for your review and comment. The state will get a copy. They'll give their comments. And then after that's done, they'll go to the City Commission, and they'll have it out. They'll make the final determination whether the district will be dissolved.
Just curious, what was the rationale behind it?
Behind its original...
Behind dissolving them?
It hasn't accomplished what it set out to do.
What was it supposed to accomplish and where did it fall short?
Well, some of the properties, were not maintained to a level that they just continued on to deteriorate. And the historic aspects of those were being lost. And also, when you have a historic district, that's an extra layer of regulation. Mm-hmm. So there's a monetary cost to abide by those requirements. And it's higher than if you wanted to do a typical project. The White House was a perfect example. That cost was much more to make it compatible with the historic district requirements than just if they wanted to remodel that house. And then there were a couple projects that weren't moved forward just because they cost too much. So as opposed to being an incentive to keep these properties historically accurate, it was more of a detriment. And we compared it to other areas in the town, like Terrace Street and Elm Street and some others, that really invested in those properties and it brought a lot of value to those. And we weren't seeing that here in this district. So with that, it just wasn't doing what it was intended to do.
That makes sense. Especially if it discourages projects.
Right, yeah. And people were investing in their properties. So when that committee's set and that report's done, it'll be brought to the planning commission, and then you know, you'll have a chance to review that and make your recommendations. Then the construction documents for the open space have been completed and they're going out for bid. Hopefully we'll get some good bids in and this project will be done in the fall. And at the last city commission meeting, I gave them an update on the short-term rental. Right now we have 164 total. It looks like it's kind of plateaued. I haven't seen a new one in about 3 weeks. And it's just kind of really, and I was expecting this time of year to see much more. And so it's just really kind of leveled off. So I'm not sure if there's a saturation or you know what's going on, but it doesn't look like you know we'll see a lot more coming.
I have a question on short-term rentals. Could the city tax them? Occupancy tax. I know we recently rented a condo in Florida for a week, and I paid a hefty tax on the bill. Has the city ever looked into doing that? And my opinion would be to use that money to create affordable housing for incentives for building new affordable housing.
I'm not sure the mechanism is there to do that. I know the state was talking about that with one of their compromise bills when they were talking about passing a short-term rental bill. And I don't know if there's any other avenue to do that, but it's nothing that the city has really pursued.
Maybe we should.
When we had the initial discussions, that wasn't part of one of the issues that was raised.
Well,
so.
For hotels and things like that, there's a tax.
Right. Like Water Street Inn pays a chamber tax. But I'm not sure if we can tax a single family residence in a similar manner.
Well, we can't do that. It's not allowed for short-term rentals.
Right.
I asked the Petoskey Convention Bureau guy.
Okay.
And he said, that's not
so it has to be a hotel.
Who bans it?
The way the law is written it allows communities to form convention type bureaus, tourist bureaus, Petoskey Area Visitors Bureau, it's called. The way the law is written that creates the ability to do that and to tax those people is those people vote and they have to vote to tax themselves.
Yeah.
However many hotels there are, and they're actually different districts within the whole Petoskey area thing, and they have to vote to tax themselves. And it's based on room numbers, so of course if all the Boyne resorts want to do it, then it happens. But you're not allowed to have that kind of tax on short-term rentals.
To me,
that would certainly be right for possible legislation.
Well, that's what I think they were talking about that with the whole short-term compromise bill of some kind of tax and aspect to it, but that, for my mind, has gone
over.
Well,
the whole political situation in Lansing flipped. So.
Right.
So to me, that would be the purpose of I would designate, if I were the world, I would designate that tax to go to a fund to create incentives for developers to, let's say, develop apartment complexes.
Right.
Or I think this city is has a real lack of townhouse-style housing, three-bedroom. We say we don't have housing available for families. Well, if we always go after one and two bedroom apartments, you're not going to have families. Mm-hmm. And so if we could do a tax and that goes into the pool to be that we could use as an incentive to lure a developer, it just seems to all make sense.
Well, without the enabling legislation, I don't think that's really going anywhere.
So. Who do I need to write to?
I'm I have a question. Out of the, you said there was 164 that have applied for the short-term rental.
Have licenses.
That have licenses. Remind me of how many that our report showed.
Well, that fluctuates constantly.
Right. But like at the peak.
At the peak, probably.
Just shy of 200.
Well, no, there's listings. You got listings and rentals. Some may have multiple listings for the same rental. I think it was about 179 was the most unique rentals that I found. But I think that was also counting the Water Street Inn, which we had to back those out because they make our ordinance for a hotel. So, you know, there's, what, 29 units there. So I think the 160 number is, you know, probably
accurate and casting, you know, what we had there.
What we got. Totally.
That's wonderful. I mean, the ones that we had are abiding by this new.
Yeah, I got 99.9% compliance right now.
That's awesome.
That's very good.
There's only one, and I had communication with them last week, and so they're going to take care of it. So, you know, it's as far as the implementation of the program has gone, it's gone very well.
Good.
By and large, most people have been very cooperative and have no issues with it. I got a couple of complaints about, you know, why do we do this and why do you have a license? But that I could count on one hand. So by and large, it's gone very well.
Now, how many are in the traditional residential district and what percentage of?
There is 102 in the TRD district.
Yeah.
And that's about 7.6% of those units.
And there's still no talk of a cap, but
well, the commission had
the
commission had that discussion twice and couldn't come to an agreement of what that cap should be. So but they told me to bring it back to them if I see, you know, increase. You know, I think 10% is the number that some of them are looking at. So,
what percentage is this 164
of the total units in
of
the city?
Of the total units in TRD?
No, that's not in TRD. No.
Oh, okay.
164 is total.
TRD.
Okay, what's the percentage?
7%.
Okay, 7%.
7.6 of the TRD units.
Okay.
In TRD.
To give 10% from TRD would be about 130.
We don't want to get to 10%.
No, no.
I mean, 10% is a third more than we have right now. We've got about 7.5%. So, in my mind, in a couple of commissioners' minds, we don't want to get to 10%. But, like Scott said, we level off at a number that seems to be
balanced.
Yeah.
But all these people who do not want Point City to change, invariably, this is changing Point City. You know?
But I think that the ones that are looking for these cabs are have in their mind that this will make more homes available for city full-time residents, and it's my belief that what will happen is there will still be people from out of area purchasing homes. They just won't be using them as a rental. The people that are opposed to this, the segment of the population they want to serve, are the working class people. And the price of the homes are not going to go down enough for that to happen.
You don't think that once short-term rentals are brought back on the market and limited, that you're going to see any decrease in
property? No, it's
not going to happen. People, this is a very popular vacation town. I mean, I bought a house up here 20-some years ago, 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. I didn't use it as a rental.
Right.
But I wanted a place up here. And I bit the bullet and bought a place, and I maintained my home downstate. to work. And I think you're going to see other people do the same thing. I don't think it's going to achieve a greater inventory of homes for working class people.
I don't think it's a direct relationship, but I think it is part of the puzzle.
But it, I was just talking to Don Tuffalo today, and I said, how are things going, and that kind of thing. And he said, if I had any houses to sell, I'd be doing well. Well, I don't think that stopping short-term rentals will make more homes available.
I think
for our working class people.
Well, it depends what you define as working class people. When teachers cannot find homes, when executives of Point Mountain cannot find homes, when I'm talking a working class, there is a upper end. I mean, that still can't. So, you know, it's...
But I believe that...
I think, you know, there are different... And I did a list one time, about 2 or 3 years ago, going through the homes that have been turned into short-term rentals. At that time, there was a substantial number, there were 1,000 square feet.
You know, hey, so the one I thought was 1,000 square feet or less.
Well, what I'm saying is those have been turned into short-term rentals. Mm-hmm. A lot of those. And taken off the market long before the market exploded in value.
And I know...
And the short-term rental people are bidding against residents.
And
that's the issue.
If you were selling your home,
well, this is my staff report. I think you can have this.
I love this, the spirit of discussion. We really do kind of need to move on.
Okay. You would accept a cash offer from anybody before you accept one from the local teacher.
Okay.
Scott, would you update us on the number on the home price numbers that you gave in your report to the police commission? Average home price, median home price, and the percentage of increase from a year ago?
I did that in February, and I don't recall those numbers right off the top of my head.
314 is the average or median home price.
Right.
Yeah, that was what came from Zach Samples.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right, it wasn't you.
Yeah.
We do have a new housing ready coordinator.
Yeah.
And he said that home prices are up 14% in a year. 14%.
Yep. So. In just this one year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Plus interest rates.
Yeah.
That's all I have for tonight, unless you have any questions.
Let's move on to the good order. Everybody doing okay? Okay. I went to a ZBA meeting this month, and it was me and Bob Carla. So if you know of anyone that is looking to get into doing some stuff with the city, volunteering, it's not a lot of hours. It's not. I think I had one or two meetings last year.
Yeah.
It's really not a huge commitment, but we do need people. And people that have a decent head on their shoulders, or at least willing to learn. Mm-hmm. And so if you can think of anybody, please, just send me.
The commission
did appoint one.
They did?
Yeah.
Well, I knew that there were two that were up.
Well, Zach Samples.
Okay.
He becomes a year resident in July.
July, that's right.
So he'll be, he's submitted his application.
So it'll be him and Robert.
Yeah. So you'll have three permanent and one alternate. So.
Okay. I was just mentioning.
But I appreciate that. Because it's not the only board where they're having difficulty finding a number.
Feel good so far?
Just, we're not in the news, which is maybe a good thing, but Petoskey is, you know, they've got a 40-unit apartment complex on the works, and they've got a 65-unit on the works, and Wing Valley Township has something fired up there with Wing Mountain property. So it's kind of good that we're not in the news.
Has there been any progress with Lost on Lake Street?
No, I was talking with Zach at at the city commission meeting about that, and he had a conversation with them a couple weeks ago and said that, that they're focusing on a couple different projects right now, and you know they're still committed, but it's not their primary focus right now.
What is that?
And no,
what is Zach's position again?
He is the county housing ready coordinator, right?
Yeah, he's new to that position.
Yeah, he's took Steve Schnell's position.
Oh,
so it's through the county, not through Boyne City?
No, it's through Housing North. It's an independent agency that focuses on housing, and they have county coordinators in Charlevoix, Emmett.
There's five of us in Nicole Payton, his salary. It's the City of Boyne City, City of Charlevoix, City of East Jordan, Charlevoix County Foundation, and the County of Charlevoix.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Has there been any interest in the library offering?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not aware of what's going on in the library.
They offered the property, the red building.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of requested proposals for that building and the parking lot for redevelopment, and we really haven't gotten any serious proposals.
Probably the same problem that the other place has.
The numbers don't work.
Yeah.
Try and have a nonprofit, offer a.
That's where my tax fund would come in.
That's an excellent idea.
It would be incentive money to use, however.
Right.
But somebody would call it tax. And you actually use that three-letter word. And that doesn't always help.
Well, it's not a tax on the homeowner. It's a tax on the user. It's a user tax.
Right.
And, I mean, if people are renting up here, short-term,
believe me,
they got forwarded.
That's a legislation issue.
Yeah.
We're not going to win that one.
All right. Sounds good. Let's move to adjournment. Any motion for adjournment?
Motion to adjourn.
Larry's got a motion for adjournment. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Nicole, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Well, we will see you here next month. Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
It's okay. Scott's trying to fill in.
Yeah, I'm not a good secretary, I can tell you that.